Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom. And we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Welcome back to another PT Pearl. So I'm excited today we are talking about IT band syndrome. And this one is so common in terms of when people complain about knee pain and what's happening. So we're going to dive into all the goodies and why that might be happening in your body.
So what is the IT band? It is the iliotibial band because it goes from this big bone on our side, the iliacus or the iliac crest, all the way down to the tibia, which is the bone just below the knee. So it's this huge, huge layer of dense fascia that a bunch of muscles attach into and a lot of forces work through. And why do we have the IT band?
So the IT band was really, you know, created over time in this thickness as humans, we walk forward and backward, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, we want to move side to side and we do at times, but it's not our main force of how we move. So locomotion wise, we go forward and back. And so the IT band was really built on the side of our body to help like kind of fight off the forces of falling to the side. So instead of just having that hip or that knee or that leg fall to the side, that IT band is kind of there to structurally help support you and keep you moving forward.
Yeah. Anytime you lift one leg up and you're kind of standing on one leg, the IT band is basically taking all of that force through the whole thing. Of course, you know, we have our glute and our lateral muscles that are kind of helping keep us up, but to prevent us from tilting right over. So why do people feel pain through this thing so much?
So the most common thing is that it's known as like a friction injury. So you kind of get right at the knee. So right where that IT band, again, that thick layer of that connective tissue, that fascia, if we look at it anatomy wise, it's just going to look like this white layer of tissue. Mm-hmm. And that's going to go down on the side of the knee. And then again, like Dom said, attach lower into that lower leg. Well, when it crosses that knee joint right there, that's where a lot of people end up feeling that friction and that pain and that rubbing. And we can even sometimes touch the side. And when you extend or bend and move and extend that leg, that lower leg, and kind of straighten that knee, that's when you start to feel that pain. Or say that you step down and down from a step or up on a step. And again, we touch and we put pressure on that side of that knee while it's doing it. And you say, oh, that is exactly my pain. That's usually how we diagnose IT band syndrome.
Yeah. And then everyone will ask or okay, say that that's great. Now how do I fix it?
Yeah.
You know? And that's the thing that is really difficult to kind of dice through, because we just said it's this huge, huge layer of fascia or tissue that runs down our leg. And there are so many big, big muscles that attach directly into it or are at work around it. So up in our hip, we've got our glutes, our big glute max on the back that really extends the leg, our glute meds that are on the side of the hips that rotate the hip and also work on moving our leg outward, our tensor fascia latae.
Coffee muscle.
Like you're sipping on a latte, that is an internal rotator of the hip that also attaches into it. Also, we have our quads, these big, big muscles on the front of the leg that extend the knee, or our hamstrings that flex or bend the knee back. Those might not attach directly into the IT band, but they attach right on the lateral side of the leg. And the way fascia works, if there are things pulling at different fascial planes on the lateral side of the leg, also right by that IT band, they're going to put different forces through. So like I said, a lot of the biggest muscles in our legs all attaching into or right around this IT band.
Right. And so that's why a lot of people then say, well, let me just foam roll it out. Let me take a foam roller and try to just get into that IT band and roll out.
Stretch it out.
And break up that fascia layer.
Break up the tissue. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Unless someone is, what are those huge trucks?
Semi-truck?
A steamroller?
A steamroller, yes.
So unless someone is taking a steamroller to your side, you're probably not going to affect that fascial tissue into that IT band at all.
Yeah, I think something else would probably give before the IT band gave yeah. if we brought a steamroller around. So don't try that at home, folks.
No, please don't.
But so then people will say, okay, again, then how do I start to dice through what my issue
well,
is?
Well, why don't we say, like, first, why isn't that working? Why isn't that effective?
So why isn't it effective to use these foam rollers or whatever? Because some people might say, hey, I do it and it feels better for a little bit. You know, and okay, great. It does feel better because although we're not breaking up any fascial tissue or breaking up anything or elongating that IT band, we are still getting a mechanical effect into the muscles and into the nerves that are in that area. Mm-hmm. All tissue work, all soft tissue or manual work is going to have an effect on what our brain is perceiving in that area. So we get this process called mechanical gating where, okay, when something hurts, we rub it and it distracts our brain to say, it's okay, let's calm things down in that area a little bit. But a lot of the times that's just for a short-lived time. Again, not that that's not effective if or can't be effective if done really thoughtfully and then followed up with some other investigation into how the muscles at the hip are working and then maybe strengthening in certain areas, maybe working on different stability that might be that underlying cause as to why we were getting that friction in the first place.
And I just want to say, for some people, it doesn't feel good. So if you are rolling on your IT band because you think that's going to be the fix and you're like, it is so painful, I'm wincing, I'm hurting, don't do it.
Don't do it.
And where I like to usually guide people in, if you do want a foam roll, because again, getting that stimulation, getting that touch, getting that feedback into the muscle tissue and allowing that reduction of tension. Again, it's not breaking up scar tissue, but if we can help fluids to move a little bit better, if we can help to decrease that stimulation and that feeling of tightness, which is essentially what we're doing, start at the quad, okay? Start at the front of the thigh, start at the back of the thigh, and don't go directly on the IT band, because for a lot of people, that's a super sensitive area. And there's no need, because again, we're not elongating or breaking up that IT band, so there's no need to be directly on that tissue. And another thing I like to bring up, like one of my professors in biomechanics, Dr. Lin, shout out, he would always talk about too, if this is a friction syndrome, meaning it's a rubbing, why are we then creating more friction and rubbing by doing the foam roller or rolling onto that IT band, you know, a lot? Why are we doing that and creating more friction on a friction type syndrome?
Yeah, we have to find the things that are going to help take the tension out of there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes addressing the muscles that are putting the tension into that area in the first place is a great start.
Yeah.
So then another thing that we want to look into is, again, why are we having that rubbing or that uncontrolled rubbing? You know, in a lot of instances, I think it's a control issue as to how the leg is operating in general and as a whole. You know, people will point up to the hip and say, oh, we've got to work on the hip muscles. Yeah, we should know how our glutes are working, how our adductors or the muscles on the inside of our leg are working, on the inner thigh, and all the way down through the foot. How is that impacting the way that our foot is rotated while we're walking or while we're stepping through that? Because trust me, we are habitual beings. And if we do something 1,000 or 10,000 times a day, that's what starts to create these different habits and different tensions through our leg. So becoming aware of our own habits and trying to address why we may be putting pressure through that in a certain way is a great place to start.
And that's why I like to say, because then a lot of people say, well, I don't know how am I, like, am I too far out? Am I too far in? Am I walking the correct way? And it gets really stressful, right, to say, well, I don't know how to increase my awareness and what should I be paying attention to? And so that's where I like to just say, okay, what have you been neglecting? Like, let's take out what's moving correctly and how should it be moving and what's the right way and wrong way and all of that. Let's take that off the table. Mm-hmm. Let's just think about, have you even become aware of your toes and what they're doing outside of walking, outside of anything? Can they separate? So look at your hand, see how your fingers can separate. Well, honestly, the toes should be able to do that separation as well. And if that's a super difficult thing, this is the thing that you then get to just start adding in. because the muscles of the toes also connect all the way down through the foot. And if we can help to bring that connection back into the bottom of the foot, we help to bring the connection all the way up the chain.
Well, and when we talk about those toe muscles, like some of them actually come all the way up and connect almost up into the knee. And so that's something that you can be aware of at the toe. One thing that I like to talk people into is just standing on one leg. Because we mentioned right away that standing on one leg, the IT band is one of the things that was developed so that we don't fall right over. So if you come and stand on one leg, does the hip that you're standing on or the leg that you're standing on, does that hip kind of pop out to the side? If so, that lets us know that we're kind of letting ourselves rest into that hip. So standing on one leg and just trying to stand nice and tall, so we're standing over that leg, not letting our hip kind of rest into itself, that's another thing that we can start to try and become aware of. And trust me, if you stand on one leg for a minute for the rest of your life on each side every day, you're going to be a lot more functional in walking, in doing all sorts of functional activities.
Exactly. And then you don't have to be thinking about, well, how am I stepping and how am I doing this, right? We want to take the stress away from, you know, what is my body doing in every single step, because we want to build unconscious way of walking, of being, without having to say, is my back turned on? Is my core on? Is this happening? Because you shouldn't be having to walk through life like that. So, but if we build better habits outside and just say, what are the things I'm neglecting and how can I sprinkle that in throughout my day? That's when we start to become, not have to think about all of these little practices, every single movement. And we just free up our bodies in terms of pain and function and ability so much more. The other thing I wanted to go into is, like, a lot of the times when we're looking at knee pain, right? One of the things that usually gets programmed are hip exercises. And this is because, you know, again, exactly what Dom was talking about. If the hip is you know, kind of getting weak or anything, building up like clams and bridges and these common glute exercises with the band around the knees or a band around the ankles that we've probably heard about, which are great. But Dom and I like to go into a foundation prior to even like, okay, that's still an external part of the hip that we're building. We have to build from the internal portion before we build on the external portion.
Yeah. So that brings us back around to something we talk about all the time, which is this core and breath and being aware of and using our pelvic floor, the transverse abdominis, which is this big core set that we have around the diaphragm, and how that is pumping and working for us. I know in Jen's optimal body workouts, she has core workouts, core 1 through core 4 every month. And my favorite workouts, and I'm somebody who is an athlete, I always thought I had good core strength. My favorite workouts are core 1, the simplest ones, because when I do those, I truly feel that inner core activating so that I can then use the outer core to actually move, being those glutes, the muscles of the hip, you know, the other back muscles that I'm foundationally supporting myself so that I feel like I can safely move without getting the different hip clicking or the other issues that I used to experience a lot. So making sure that we have a solid foundation to move from without compensating with our inner core movement.
Exactly. So when we build that inner core, we're just going to help to stabilize. Then those other exercises like the clams, the bridges, the all that kind of stuff become way more effective when we start at our foundation and when we address the feet, especially when we're talking like IT band is really common in runners, right? Yeah. And what are the shoes that runners are usually wearing?
Yeah, a lot of arch support. You know, it doesn't give their toes much room to move. So we're just kind of jamming our toes into the end of a shoe.
Exactly. Totally. And so when your feet are just in that kind of compressed position a lot, we lose the ability to really use the bottom of the feet, those muscles that help to propel us forward and work for us. And we're relying on that shoe a lot. And that's why people end up, you know, utilizing and buying so many different shoes, because we're looking for that external fix. When, though, yes, shoes we love to talk about and they're supportive, but we have to address what's happening internally. And that's where, again, coming back to the toes, coming back to the feet, and just activating, waking up, exploring, rather than being obsessed of how they're moving, but like outside of shoes, outside of walking, can you move your toes? Can you move your feet? Can you balance on one foot?
Yeah. And that's not to go to say every runner should take their shoes off and start running around barefoot.
No.
We'll probably have more issues if we all of a sudden just start going to barefoot running. But just understanding that we've been relying on those shoes to provide support for the longest time, and that's probably or could be making us compensate somewhere else because our feet aren't acting the way they're supposed to.
Exactly. So it becomes really basic, actually, when we look at IT band. Rather than smashing out the IT band, rather than, you know, worrying about directly what is happening at my knee, but if we just start looking, what is my foot doing? Can I balance on one foot? Can I use my glutes? Can I use my inner core? And you just start working through these things consistently, you will notice, I promise, you will notice significant changes at how you feel at your knees.
It's another one of those cases that where the pain is and where you think the issue is, it ain't. You got to do a little more explanation, and hopefully this has helped you think through some of those things that you can start to work into. All right, now heading into our next interview, we have Danielle Pacenti, who's a good friend of Jen and mine, and we are going to be chatting with her about all sorts of goodies.
Yeah, she's a certified personal trainer in Los Angeles. She's got her Danielle Pacenti training guides, which can all be found on her Instagram at Danielle Pacenti or DanielPacenti.com. She has all her stuff up there. She's worked with anyone from celebrities to CEOs to people trying to lose weight. She's got running programs, HIIT programs, body weight, across the board, and just really intelligent, really good human. And one of the reasons we love her is because she's incredibly inspiring. She's a real, authentic, good human and a really badass trainer. So I'm excited to dive in with her.
All right, so you've heard us talk about them before. Let's dive in one more time and talk about Vivo Barefoot shoes. Why are they so amazing and why are they the only things that Jen and I wear day to day? One, they're wide, so they let your toes move and spread like they're naturally supposed to. They're flexible, so it teaches your feet to start working for themselves. And they're thin, so you can feel the ground beneath you and help connect your body in to what's happening on below your feet. So Jen and I encourage everybody to go try out some Vivo Barefoot shoes. Bonus, they have a 100-day period that you can trial any pair of their shoes. So Jen and I want you to go try Vivo Barefoot, free your feet, and start connecting into that ground and natural movement that your body is so desperately asking for.
We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast. Hello, Danielle. Welcome to the show. I am so incredibly blessed and honored to have you here because not only are you an incredible trainer and you share so much amazing information online, but we get to be your friend and I get to torture myself by sweating with you often.
It's the best. Thanks for having me on, guys. I feel so honored.
So before we really dive into the meat of everything that what we want to talk about, I want to, can you just give a brief intro for the people of who you are and where they can find you? Because although, of course, we'll repeat this all at the end, like if people want to look you up right now, where could they look you up?
Yeah, so I'm primarily on Instagram is where I do a lot of my stuff. So Instagram at Danielle Pacenti. And then on my website, you can find all my training programs. So HIIT training, mostly strength training, and some running programs. And that's on my website is DanielPacenti.com.
And you've been a trainer for how long?
Oh, you wanted to give me a background.
Just a little bit for the background.
Got to get to know you.
Yeah. Yep. I missed that part. So yeah, I've been a trainer for over a decade now. So I think I'm coming up on 11 years and I've lived in LA for about 10 years and I started training clients in person. I was an athlete in college, so I kind of was trying to figure out what I wanted to do after that. And I knew I wanted to stay in sports and be helping people in some capacity. So I dove straight into training and I've never really looked back. And, I think a lot of my athletic roots play into being a trainer, of course, but I've worked with all sorts of clients that range on the scale from, you know, super fit people to They've never worked out a day in their life when they first met me, to people who are just struggling with injuries or grief or whatever the case may be. And they're just trying to find a good mental place and be strong again. So that's my primary focus is strength training and HIIT training.
So like, I love that. And I love how you've been a trainer for so long and have such a wide, you know, experience of being with different people. I always tell like, you know, I'm a really young physical therapist and people ask me what my best continuing ed is right now. I'm like, honestly, just working with a lot of different people, because then I get to learn how my skills apply to so many different types of people. And one of the things I want to like ask right away, and I'm sure many people out there, especially people who may have not done a lot of exercise right away. And, you know, you do HIIT stuff and you do some pretty intense stuff. And if people just jump right into that, they're going to have a lot of aches and pains, right? And how do you how do you coach people through that in those early stages of like creating this new behavior and dealing with all the aches and pains that come up?
Yeah, it's, I always tell people like you really have to start with the basics. And I think that's the hardest thing is if someone were to come to my Instagram, they would see me doing, you know, fairly advanced movement patterns, but everybody starts somewhere and you really have to start with the basic foundational movements in training and also unload it. You know, nobody should be coming to you for the first time. They've never worked out and you're just tossing like 20 pound dumbbells at them or barbells or kettlebells or any of that type of specialized equipment. So I am a firm believer in getting foundational movement patterns in with my clients and starting just from the beginning, like where are they truly starting? Let me assess them and then we'll work up to that. And of course, soreness is going to be a real thing, especially for someone who hasn't done anything at all. If they're truly coming to me bare and they haven't worked out in a really long time, I always tell people 30 days usually is you're going to feel general soreness. And the first couple weeks might be super intense, but it goes away because the stronger we get, the more, you know, we adapt to it. And and then we have to load ourselves up. So it's kind of just a progressive pattern.
Totally. What are some of those foundational movements that you really kind of start people with and guide them with?
All sorts of different things. So I really like foundational movements for me, squats, lunges, push-up, I like side lunges, just the things that you would think are a basic movement pattern, i.e. not a combination movement. Mm-hmm. Not working upper lower body at the same time, plyometrics. Those are things I'm introducing much later in the program. Bench press is foundational, tricep extension, bicep curl, those types of things.
Yeah, I like that. And I know that for any of your programs, you always show so many modifications and progressions because you're a beast. So you give people those options. And I think that's really important for people to understand it's okay to start at whatever level you are at when it comes to movement and exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And even like within the programs, even if they see it and they think I can't do it, even if in my brain it would be a foundational movement or a basic exercise, some people need it further dialed back. And so I'm adamant about my clients and anyone who purchases my program that they can get a modification through me somehow, even if they don't initially see it in the program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. Now, I want to shift just a tiny bit because one of my favorite things about you is just how open you've been with your story and how open and real you are about all of your experiences. Especially for someone who's like, okay, cool, I'm not a beginner. I know where to start. I'm in it. But I've had setbacks. And I think one of the more interesting ones, when I was like first getting to know you, I mean, I barely had met you. And I know that you had taken a step back from your HIIT training and you weren't doing that. Can you talk into first, how did you know that something was off with your body and you needed to go get help and you needed to go look at things? What were those cues and those signs? And then how, like, who'd you go see and how did you kind of start to work through that?
Yeah. So there came a point where I was seriously fatiguing. And the only way I know how to describe it is I didn't feel like myself. I was irritable. I was super moody and down and depressed. And I am not I am not that type of person by nature. And I'm sure you know this about me, but it's like, I'm motivated, I'm driven, I wake up every day positive, but I was just feeling off and not like myself. And adrenal fatigue was something that was brought to my attention, obviously, with all the running and HIIT training I do. And I was concerned because I had lost my period for about 8 years, which was never a concern from my OBGYN or gynecologist. Like, she just was never, it's fine, you're an athlete, sometimes it goes away. And so I just put it out of sight, out of mind. If I wasn't having a period, great, like even better. I didn't have to bleed and deal with mood swings and all that stuff. But I was concerned that it had been so long. And then adrenal fatigue was brought to my attention and a whole slew of other things hormone related. And I thought, you know what, I should probably get this in check. And it wasn't until after I got married that I started to think more about it, because I knew that we wanted to have kids someday. And like, by the way, this is 5 years ago, so I don't know why the urgency then to get it back. But I was like, eventually we're going to want them. So I do want to put this at the forefront. So I decided to get everything kind of checked out. And that at that point is when my hormone levels and a lot of other different levels were just off. And so the recommendation from a doctor was, take this pill or do this thing and it will help to level them out. And I am anti taking anything. I'm like, okay, well, what's the natural route? Because that's how I've always been and that's how I always will be. I think foods and nutrition are super healing. I as well think your routine, you can change your routine and that's going to help to fix things. So I always go the natural route first. I try not to resort to things. Now, of course, I know people need things in certain circumstances, but I just think you can heal a lot through the body, through nutrition, through food, through your routine. So I decided to go the natural route, and my OBGYN was like, this could take years. You haven't had a period for years and you have to be diligent. And I said, you know, what do I have to do? What does this really mean? And she said, you know, you need to stop running. You need to stop HIIT training, which was the last thing I wanted to do. And the last thing I wanted to hear, as you both know how I train, yeah. It's like, oh, I don't really want to stop doing that, but I guess I will. And I needed to eat more food, just more food in general. Because I think it wasn't as though I was intentionally doing it, but I think I did have kind of a restrictive diet. And looking back at it in hindsight, which is, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe I was restricting and maybe I wasn't eating enough fat, like good fats for my body. So I changed everything up and it took 11 months, which was honestly the longest 11 months of my life to get it back, but I got it back totally naturally. And I was super honest during the time. Like, even when I got little gut punches and hits to be like, screw this, I'm done. I'm just going to run. I'm just going to HIIT train, because I could have backed out at any point. There were some really dark days in that year period, but I didn't. I stuck with it and the results were there. You know, I got my period back. I've had it back. It took about 6 months to regulate. So I would say all in all, about a year and a half to really regulate. And then I've had it normal ever since, exactly the way that I had it before I lost it. I would, you know, I get it every 30 days. I bleed for 5 to 7 days. Sorry, Dom, this is a lot, a lot of
hey, it's stuff that people
womanly
need to hear,
talk.
Though.
Yeah,
no, this
he's
is
good.
Amazing.
He's good.
Don't apologize to me. Like, it's the things that people don't talk about that need to be talked about. And there are people that I'm sure might be looking for solutions to the things that they have going on.
Yeah.
And so it's so valuable for you to talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I did finally get it back and it's been regular. And so that was a huge learning process. But I think what I teeter with now, in all honesty, and it hasn't, I haven't been worried about it because I'm still getting my period regularly, but I slowly and surely started adding some of this stuff back in. But I just don't want to fall into the place where I was again. And I don't think I will, because I've significantly changed the way I eat. And so I think that was a huge aspect of it. And I'm not ever willing to go back to the way I used to eat, because I realize now it was very restrictive. But, you know, I am HIIT training again. I am strength training more, which is important, and I'm running again. So I just have to be careful with it and just be aware of how my body feels. And if I'm feeling that fatigue coming on, which I haven't in the last 5 years, but if I'm feeling it, I just need to tune in and do the things that I know I should be doing, like low impact, walking, yoga, Pilates, not the crazy adrenal fatigue stressing things.
Yeah, that is huge. Can I get a little bit more personal and ask you a question?
Yeah, go dive right in. I'm an open book.
I appreciate that. So especially as a woman to another woman, were you on birth control?
No, and I think that's such an important question to ask. I've never taken birth control in my life, ever, ever, ever. So that was not a thing for me. I have always just used protection. That is the way for me. So yeah, to answer your question, I've never taken it. And that was never an aspect, but it is for a lot of people that are trying to get their period back. They reach out to me. And the one variable I cannot speak to is birth control, because people will say, okay, well, I'll go off of it and then I'm going to try to regulate again. I'm like, okay, you can do that, but I can't promise you what will happen because I've never actually taken it. So
Yeah. I personally had that issue when every time I was off birth control, I was very irregular and I'd go 2 to 3 months without having a period. And for me, it was more about, I mean, always it goes back to hormones. The same thing, you know, similar to you, I went and got my blood levels checked from, Next Health out here in LA. But I usually recommend like functional medicine doctor, dietitian, someone who like kind of knows the body a little bit better in that way. And maybe does different types of testing too. Cause then I got on all these different supplements and natural things. And when I was diligent to the foods that my body needs, the nutrition, the vitamins and supplements that I was missing, and really kind of boosted all of that, it regulated to a point where if I'm pretty like on those things, like with my vitamins, with my supplements, with my eating, and I stick to that, like I barely even have cramps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's huge.
So huge. And I think people don't even realize
that you did that all through food and supplemental, you know, vitamins and stuff like that.
I think that just from hearing both of your guys' stories and kind of one of the themes that I heard, and Danielle, when you were talking about it, you're like, it was 11 months and it was 11 of the worst months of my life. and one of the things that I think like I was hearing is you just had to make a ton of changes and you had to do a bunch of things that were a little uncomfortable and that you weren't used to, like change your training up significantly, which me knowing you now, but also being a former athlete, knowing the times that I had to change up my training because of injuries or not be able to be with my team or whatever it was, like dark times, like you said, dark times. And when you're eating differently.
Yes.
And so what do you think it is about a lot of those changes that you need to make? And just the, I don't know, the uncertainty people have about making these changes in their life that is one of the biggest barriers to overcome to addressing some of the issues like you or like Jen had. Like it is a lot of behavioral stuff. And how do you think as a trainer, we can help clients and people approach that?
Yeah, this is such a good question, because I feel like for athletes specifically, or people who truly love working out, it's a tough pill to swallow to be told to slow down. And maybe that wouldn't be true for any other person or like the average person. Yeah. But for me, it's like I either have to be truly on my ass injured to stop. And Jen, you definitely know that about me. but it's like I have to be injured in order to really stop. And it shouldn't work like that, right? We should be feeling the cues, hearing the cues, and then listening to the cues. But I have an issue listening to the cues. So for me, it usually comes down to, all right, this is serious enough. My body's saying, I need your attention and I need it now. And that's when I really start to change things up. But in general, I just think how people should respond to an injury is to do the appropriate things you know you need to do to get it better, and don't wait any longer. If you feel that cue, if you hear that cue, act on it appropriately as soon as you can, and then be diligent about it. You know, if, as I said, with my journey, I could have turned back at any point and said, I'm going to go back to what I know is comfortable. And I'm going to continue HIIT training and running because that's what makes me feel good, right? I could have escaped to that option at any point. But I think part of the discomfort is not being in our routines. Part of the discomfort is the mental battle of not doing what we think we need to do. Like, you need to be out for a 9-mile run right now. You need to be doing a 45-minute HIIT session. It's like, no, you need to be walking. You need to be doing yoga so that your system slows down and you can actually get some of these hormones back, or in line rather.
Yeah.
So I just think the advice is to be patient, be diligent, and be smart. Be smart overall with your training and your injuries.
And look at what it can do if you actually be diligent about it. You got back. Yeah, it took 11 months, but you're back. I think your downstairs neighbors, who we know very well, know very well that you're back and you're doing burpees over their head all the time.
Yep, 100%. And it took a while too. I think there's another analogy that I like is when people talk about going on cleanses, like food cleanses or juice cleanses, and then the first day they're off of this cleanse and they feel great and they're like, I'm going to go to In-N-Out Burger and Chick-fil-A, and they like load all this shit into their system, right? It's like, no, ease back in. Why don't you add some brothy soups, some vegetables first, and like give it some time, give it time. And that is the biggest lesson of all, especially for athletes, is like, you can't just jump back in. And I didn't just jump back into running. I actually strength trained for the first 6 months. I still did not run, and I kind of eased back into where I'm at now. And now I would consider what I'm doing to be a little bit much at times. And so that's a cue I have to pay attention to, but at least I'm aware of it. And at least I know, like, what's the worst case scenario and what I need to do in order to get back to a good place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you kind of mentioned like the dark times of, you know, what happened and what you experienced when you're moving through all of this. So what is your advice to people? Because how did you like still stay healthy within your body and happy? Like, if I can't strength train like crazy, if I can't run, if I can't do my HIIT workouts, how do I still feel good within my body and how I'm feeling and strength wise? And how do I maintain my happiness if my happiness for you came from burpees?
Right. It's hard to answer this shortly because I actually can't say that on a lot of days I was happy. I did catch myself falling into darker times for me personally, which may look different for everyone. But I kept to myself, and I think the one big thing for me was to practice grace, which I am not good at doing. I'm really hard on myself. And so that time, forced me to practice grace so that I didn't totally lose it, you know? And by practicing grace, I really mean on my body and really showing myself love and body positivity and like not standing in front of the mirror and nitpicking every freaking thing. So it was almost this full transformation of not just my body physically, but my mind to be okay with physical changes that needed to happen. And like, I gained a lot of weight and I gained a lot of body fat, and I had to just be okay with it, knowing that this is where my body wants to live. This is a good thing. You know, I don't think it ever wanted to live at the weight I was at or the body fat percentage I was at. And so in that 11 months, I truly went through an entire transformation of body positivity and loving my body for what it is. But I would not have been able to say that at the beginning of the process. And so the only advice I could give is to show yourself grace and move through it, even if it's really dark. If you have friends, call them. If you have friends you trust or who have been through it, that's super helpful. I had two friends that had been through something similar, and I can't count the amount of times I would just get on the phone with them and call them and lean on them for support and say, I feel crazy today. Like, is this normal? And they'd be like, yes, keep going. And it was at the point I almost wanted to give up when I wanted to just say, screw it. I just won't have my period. I'll go on a hormone when I want to have a baby and like, I'm done. And it was at that point where I almost gave up that I started bleeding like the next week.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So yeah, so it's a journey. It's a journey. You have to trust yourself and you have to get uncomfortable and be okay with it. And it's probably better long term. And it really did serve me long term for loving my body. So I'll never forget that experience for that exact thing.
No, you are like hitting on so many amazing things for people to hear right now, because in your journey, like you said, 11 months of this thing that you weren't quite sure when the end was going to be and if you were going to make it through, you had all these anchors. And you kept anchoring in grace mm-hmm. for yourself. And you kept anchoring in the understanding that it's not going to be easy and that's okay. And you anchored in a few other humans. And that's also okay to have those people to lean on. And one thing that I love that I heard as you like kind of talked about, hey, I got to that 11 months. I didn't jump right back into everything. You know, you talked about gauging back into things. And you said, I don't know if I'll ever quite be exactly like I was before. And I think that's one of the amazing things is that through that journey, you did exactly what you need in instill some amazing new behaviors that's going to help you prevent yes. from going back in, you know, going back into that fatigue and getting back to that place before. So now, after all this is said and done and, you know, crushing it in business and training people and doing your thing, how do you balance it all? Do you still fall back on some of those things like yoga and some of the other movement practices you used to do? What's the balance like now?
Yeah, so after the whole ordeal, I found a true love or love liking, whatever you want to call it, for walking. And so that has been my balance is I do train really hard, but I love getting out in nature and walking. And I think I wasn't doing that enough before. Like, I was so systematic and routine. If I didn't run at a certain time, if I didn't go to the gym and log a 45-minute HIIT session or 2 hours on the elliptical or whatever crazy thing I was doing, it was as if training wasn't worth it. And so what I learned through that is, hey, a 20-minute walk is still something. A 10-minute workout at home is still something. So I don't have such tough parameters anymore. I definitely don't have a routine. So it helped me to be flexible. You know, we work from home. So it's like you could get back-to-back things all morning and not be able to escape. Whereas 5 years ago, me, I would have said, no, I'm working out at 9 a.m. no matter what, no matter what the time, no matter hell or high water, I'm doing it. Now it's just, I create movement when I can and I don't hold myself to such rigorous standards. And walking has been such a great balance, especially for as much training as I do. Just getting outside in nature feels really good. And on days where I don't feel like hitting it hard, that's what I lean towards. And I still feel like the movement helps me mentally.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. And I mean, we're constantly inspired by you.
Oh gosh,
and
yeah.
how you do move and how you do balance it out. And sometimes it's a little intense. We can't keep up.
I know.
When I see someone walk 100 yards on their hands, I'm like, I got to find new people to hang out with that I can keep up with. Jeez.
Yeah. But it really is. It just continues to speak to who you are as a person and a trainer because you have had other setbacks. You did a marathon and then had to cut back on running because of injury. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think this is also a great place to be able to tell people, no matter your journey in movement, there's going to be things that come up and you're not alone in going through the pain. You're not alone in having to slow down or experience low days. So how do you continue to kind of shift through those? And what do you recommend people doing the moment that they start to feel, you know, something feels off? What should I do?
Mm-hmm. Dial it back. I think being in tune with your body is so important. And I don't think a lot of people really know what that means because they let their mind control it. Like, I signed up for this workout, I need to do it, right? So being in tune with your body means I wake up, something hurts, I am going to do the appropriate things I need to do in order to not hurt it more. Now, I can honestly sit here and say I'm not the best at that. And I know that you guys know this about me. So again, it might take 3 to 4 cues for me personally, but at least I know I am paying attention to it. If it does get to a point where something really does hurt, I usually stop. But everybody's stopping point looks different too. As an athlete, I have a super high pain tolerance. So my stopping point might look different than someone else's. But do the things you know you need to do in order to not make it more painful, basically, would be my biggest piece of advice. And tune into your body. Your body tells a full story. Your brain is simply like a scheduler. Here's the things we got to do today. But your body says, I think otherwise. So listen to it if it's talking to you.
Yes. And you're pretty good at always going to get checked in with someone, go see a PT or a chiro. And I really think that's important too for people to hear, like, it is okay for you to be a top, like, in what you're doing and attacking everything, and also being okay to go see someone and find out some other tools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Jen knows firsthand how many times I've been like, I'm broken. Fix me.
And then we see you in the gym the next day.
The thing is, you got to do the work. So you give me work to do and then I have to do it. And so at the end of the day, it's our responsibility. Yes, we should see these people, but when we leave their office, when we leave that appointment, it's up to us to do the work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I find as a provider, that's one of the biggest battles is like, you can give anyone all the awareness and information in the world, but it's the action and the consistent action that's going to develop that long-term change that we've been kind of chatting about this whole time. So I love that awareness is one thing. Sometimes the athletes take a little longer to act on the awareness. And the message is, mm-hmm. it's okay to do that. And it's okay to reach out and get more information from other people who may have it.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being an example in that and standing mm-hmm. as a person who's continuing to do the work. You're not sitting here saying like, hey, I've been through it and now it's perfect and I know what to do. And I'm, you know, you're real. You're like, I don't know. I'm still working on it. I'm still having to catch myself. Mm-hmm. And it's a journey and it's okay to be a journey. And you're going to have times when you're hitting it hard and you're feeling great. And you're going to have times when it's low and you're not, and you're injured and you're having to slow down. And I think, you know, if people look at you, hopefully you've already gone to her Instagram and you've seen everything, it's so easy to make assumptions. It's so easy to say, well, this person already has it good. This person is perfect. This person doesn't get injured. Look at how good they look. And it's so easy to already put those assumptions out there on someone. But that's why I think it's important that you share your journey and I'm so grateful that you do and you keep it so real. You guys, like, look at her stories too. Her and Matt, hilarious, her husband.
Oh, you guys are the best. You just made my day with all your nice compliments. I'm just so blessed to have you guys as friends, and you do the same. You walk your talk and you supply so much value to your audience, your communities, both your communities. So I just love you guys to the moon and back.
It is reciprocated.
You're going to have to deal with this, so I'm glad that that's still the case.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Said you're going to have to deal with us, so I'm glad that's still the case.
Good. I'm coming to knock on your door once this quarantine's over. I probably shouldn't have referenced that. Oh, well.
Well, we so appreciate you. We can't wait to get a good sweaty workout in with you. So please don't ever send us a 100 burpee challenge again. Oh,
and you guys crushed it. If anyone wants to try a 100 burpee challenge under 5 minutes, have at it.
It's death.
Yeah.
But again, your programs, everything, they can be found at DanielleParenti.com.
Yep.
All right. That's where you can go find them. Go check out her Instagram, dive into her stories, get to know her on a personal level. She's an incredible human, not only an amazing trainer with incredible cues and ways to dive into your body, but really just a beautiful human. So thank you for being you, Danielle. I love you.
Thank you, guys. I love you guys so much, too. And thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for listening to us on the Optimal Body Podcast, where we're going to continue to bring you the PT pearls and guests that will help you find your optimal body. Now, head over to wherever you listen to this and leave us an honest review, and head to docgenfit.com/podcast, where you can find all the show notes.
Don't forget that we're going to give away a free month to someone who subscribes, leaves us an awesome review, and lets us know what they want to review on the next PT Pearl. So we'll be choosing that once a week to get into a free month of the Optimal